Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why is God so insecure? This long list of demands and expectations. All these things you just heard a moment ago, the beginning of Exodus 20. Honor me. Honor my name. Obey the Sabbath. Don't worship anybody else. What's up with that? I mean, if God is so great, then he doesn't really need us, right? It's God. We're just people. A big difference there. Side note, bear with me. I'm not going to end this in heresy. Everybody relax. Everybody relaxed? Good. To someone outside the church, those questions make a lot of sense, actually, sometimes. This first part of the Ten Commandments sounds like God demanding acknowledgement. Notice me, look at me, worship me. Here, 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 here I am. Look, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Hello? But I don't think that's what it's all about. I don't believe that is why the commandments start off that way. I remember my freshman year. I'm going to grab some water. Please don't record this. Oh, yeah. I remember my freshman year at PLU, down in Tacoma, Pacific Lutheran University. It was October 1996. Everybody do your math. Pastor Chris is 36. I know you guys do it. I know some of you do it when that happens. So, freshman year, PLU, October 1996. It was late at night. I was in my dorm. I'd gone down to the main lobby area to hang out with some new friends to play a board game of some sort. I don't remember the game. I remember the phone call that I got. My roommate came downstairs to get me. My mother was trying to get in touch with me. My father had been directing traffic at Emerald Downs, the horse track down in Auburn. It was a rainy night and it was dark. That drunk driver plowed into him at 30-some miles per hour. Knocked him out of his shoes. Threw him into a coma. It was a long recovery. He did recover. Some of you have met him. He didn't know who I was when he came out of it. That was a new experience. I'll never forget looking at him and seeing him in his rehab bed out in Puyallup. And the doctor asking him, you know, saying, "Hey, Dick, your son is here. Who is this?" And he looked at me and he said, "Mister." That's all he could think of, was just Mister. And I was so frustrated. That's not true. I was angry. I was furious. I was livid at God that this had happened. My father's a great guy. He's a heck of a guy. I remember in confirmation when Pastor Steve Olson had asked each one of us who our heroes were before we were confirmed, and I had said to him that my father was my hero. And that if I could be half the man that he is, I'd be turning out pretty well. I was furious at God. How could you let this happen? How could you do this? Why, God? This is a good guy. This is a good man. This is a solid, church-going, loves you man. Why on earth would you let this happen? And so I drifted. I drifted from the church. I walked away for several years. I was so angry. But in hindsight, my anger at God meant I hadn't rejected God as much as I might have thought I had. I hadn't lost my faith. It's hard to be angry with something you don't believe in. My faith was still there. It was misdirected. I didn't lose it. But it was strained. It was tested, if you will. I don't really understand atheism. I'll be honest with you, I don't. The belief that there's absolutely no such thing as God, period. End of story. Agnosticism, I can kind of understand. You know, agnosticism, that's the idea that God is basically beyond our knowing. That whatever form God may take, we can't fully understand that. And, you know, to some degree, I could even get behind some of that, because I don't think we can totally understand God. That actually makes a little bit of sense to me. But going all the way to say no God, none. None at all. Why God? Why believe in God? I just don't see it. Well, I can't see God. I can't measure God. Therefore, God must not be real. It just seems kind of, I don't know, arrogant to me, to be honest. Human beings are amazing. We're capable of anything. If we can't measure God, God must not exist. Because, hey, we used to say molecules were the smallest thing ever. And then we said, oh, wait, no, there's atoms. Atoms make a molecule. Atoms are the smallest thing ever. We can measure them. They exist now. Wait, atoms are made of protons and neutrons and electrons. They're small. You know what? We can measure them. They exist now. They're the smallest things that... Wait, they're made of quarks and leptons and anti-quarks and anti-leptons. Okay, never mind. Those are the smallest things, honest, we promise. And they exist because now we can measure them. I don't think it works that way. I don't think that just because we can't prove something or just because we can't measure something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. I spoke to you last week about idols. We were beginning this 4-week series on the Ten Commandments. I spoke to you briefly about idols. Do you remember what that out-of-the-box idol was that I mentioned to you?
Fear.
Fear! Thank you, Eliah. The idolatry of fear. It's too easy to focus on idols as physical things. Like the golden calf in the Old Testament, for example. That's a very easy idol to think of. Hey, it's an object. Something I can look at, I can measure, I can touch it. It must exist. That kind of idol is very easy and simple and convenient. A statue. An altar that someone can worship at. And sometimes idols are physical. But I would argue with you that the most powerful idols out there are ideas. They are concepts. Talk to you about the idol of fear. What about the idol of pleasure? The idol of our own wants and desires. The idol of work. An idol is anything that separates us from God, anything that gets in the way of our relationship with God, anything that takes the place that God should have in our hearts. That's what an idol is. It's not a golden calf. It's not a pretty statue. It's not an altar or a temple. I mean, those could be examples of, but that's not what's at the heart of the idea of an idol. An idol is that which detracts us from God. So why is that such an issue? Why is it such an issue for something to detract us from God? I don't think it's just because it offends God. I don't think that God said those words just because it was about, hey, don't make me angry, I'm God. So let's be honest, that's good advice. It is, you know, you want, Try to follow that as much as you can, usually. I think that God says that to us also because avoiding that keeps us from going on a path to our own self-destruction. Idols wear away at us. They absolutely wear away at us. They distract us. Idols lead to wasted effort and time, to broken relationships. Keeping God at the center helps prevent that. You know what I think? If these first few commandments we're looking at right now are all about the relationship between us and God, because none of these were the neighbor commandments, right? That comes next week. If these first few ones are all about the relationship between us and God, I honestly think one of the hardest ones for us to obey is the one about the Sabbath. That one's hard. Here's a hard question for you. How many of you feel that you honestly try to honor the Sabbath every week? How's that for a loaded, trick, embarrassing question to be asked from the pulpit? Honor the Sabbath. Keep it holy, is what we're told. You know what that literally means in Hebrew? Keep it separate. Set it apart. That's what keep it holy literally means. Keep it separate. Set it apart. The Sabbath isn't just about worship. Don't get me wrong. I'm really glad y'all are here today. I was worried at the start of worship. I didn't show it, but I was. It's like me and 15 of my closest friends are going to hang out together. It isn't just about worship, though. Sabbath is about setting aside time for life. Most of our culture, and not just American culture, most out there, fights against the idea of Sabbath. Which is funny, because, I mean, we have all of this research that proves that rest is good for us. As the scripture tells us, be still and know that I am God. Again, God doesn't say that just because, hey, be still and notice how awesome I am God, woo! That's not why God says that. Be still and know that I am God. Good for us. Because it helps put things in perspective. Helps us to refocus and recharge. But think about how often we lift up people without boundaries, people who are workaholics, people who will drive themselves into the ground. Go, go, go. Get ahead. Don't stop. In high school, it's kind of funny. In high school, I dated a pastor's kid named Sarah, which is funny because I married a pastor's kid named Sarah. Different person. We all have our types, apparently. And I remember when I was in high school, when I would go to visit, I was always struck by how Pastor Steve would always screen his calls at home. Very seldom would he actually pick up the phone. He wouldn't ignore the calls, but he would let it play. And especially if it was on his day off, he wouldn't, you know, for the most part, he was really good about that. And I thought that was so weird. I thought that was awful at first. I'm like, well, he's dating his daughter. I thought it was really annoying when I was trying to call. But in hindsight, I've come to recognize what a brilliant move that was. How healthy that was. No one was going to give him Sabbath. No one is going to give any of you Sabbath. No one is going to walk up and just say, hey, you know what? Made a decision. From here on out, there will be one day a week where no one's going to bother you anymore. I've taken care of it. I've talked to everyone on the planet. We're all in agreement. You have earned this. You now have a full-fledged, non-revocable Sabbath. Enjoy. If someone does that for you, Well, one, they're probably lying. Two, if they're not, congratulations. It's not going to happen. Honoring the Sabbath, placing God above idols, recognizing the importance of who God is. God as the creator, God as the beginning of all. It's not just about appeasing God. It is about the impact that it has on our lives as individuals. God knows that. That's why God told us that. It puts everything in the right order, in a healthy order. The commandments about our relationship with God, God and us, they aren't there because people worship God to make God feel better. The commandments about worshiping God make us better people. Let us pray. Holy, good, and gracious God, we thank you so much for all that you do in our lives, for the ways that you move through us and move us. We ask you to keep us open to your Spirit, to help us to look for and experience you every day of our lives. And we give thanks, knowing the peace and joy that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.